Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, so let's get to the Deshaun Watson part of this then. The league yesterday announcing that they are going to appeal the decision by former judge Sue L. Robinson that the punishment is going to be 6 games with some other caveats mixed in about Deshaun needing to schedule his massages. Like literally that's in the decision. Like he has to schedule his massages through the team and at team facilities. We're so far down the rabbit hole on this thing, man. But the league, and I guess, John, just to start off with, are you surprised at all that the league is appealing this decision by Sue L. Robinson?
No, and all of a sudden, Sean, people are complaining about the system. Well, it's in a collective bargaining agreement. Nobody should be surprised. It says that Robinson makes her ruling and then the league can appeal to the league. Goodell's going to have someone else hear it, which is smart, because when it ends up in court, they're going to like, I think, the fact that there was somebody appointed independently, maybe Mary Jo White, who's been doing the investigation. I'm assuming it'll be a woman, just as like Robinson. And so I hear people blasting the system. Well, why didn't you do that in 2020 when they came up with the system? Why the players agree to let Goodell be the final word, like the appellate judge,
yeah,
and to get some more time off, just blows me away. But it is what the players agreed to. They'll have to abide by it. And considering Robinson said he wanted a year indefinitely, and he would have to meet a lot of standards set forth. They want a significant fine. But what's significant, Sean, to a guy making $230 mil guaranteed?
Well, I don't know, but Deshaun did not want that $8 to $10 million fine that they were offering up in that settlement. John, I know he's got a lot of money, a ton of money. Those Rusty Harden bills a horse with those bills. He's got a lot of expenses, man. He got a lot of money, but he's got a lot of expenses. You know, it's funny, John, just talking about the conduct policy and the doling out of punishment under the new CBA. I think sometimes Ted Johnson used to say this, that 99% of the players in the league are not as worked. 99% of the players in the league don't get into trouble. So, and I'm not saying that all of those 99% that don't get into trouble are okay with Roger Goodell being judge and jury ultimately on all this. But what Ted used to say was, this is way less important to a big chunk of the league than you would think, like how punishment gets dished out.
Doesn't affect me.
Right. Most of the guys in the league are like, okay, well, I don't drive drunk. I don't hit my girlfriend. I don't act freaky in massages. I don't do all these things. I'm never going to run afoul of a conduct policy. So yeah, cool. If this is a negotiating point and we're going to get extra money because Roger Goodell gets to have his fingers in the pie of player conduct punishment doling out, then yeah, cool. Let's do it. I'd rather get the money and not try to do something that's going to benefit, quite honestly, a lot of guys who clearly, if you're running afoul of the player conduct policy, there's a pretty good case you can make that you don't understand the privilege that you have of being an NFL football player.
That is a great point, Sean. I'd forgotten when Ted used to talk about that on 610, but it's a great point. And that's why the union agrees to it every time a collective bargaining agreement is up. So don't bitch about the system. The system's 2 years old. The players agreed to it or wouldn't be in place. And now you're supposed to respect the system. And I can't wait to see if they reach a settlement. Mm-hmm. They go from 6, he wouldn't agree to 8. They won't go to 6. So it's going to be six between six and a season. What would you think would be a good meeting in the middle point?
I kind of like the point that the NFL was offering up reportedly in their settlements with Deshaun that he rejected. The 12 games with the $8 to $10 million fine felt appropriate to me for a couple of reasons, John. First of all, the 12 games felt appropriate. And I don't buy into the whole thing of, oh, it's going to be 12 games because they don't want Deshaun to have to go to Houston. They don't want that circus of him going to NRG Stadium. I'm not buying that. If it goes 12 games, they play the Texans in week 13. But with the bye week, that Texans game would be the Browns' 12th game of the year. So a 12-game suspension eliminates Deshaun playing at NRG Stadium this season. I think 12 makes sense. And it goes back to me to some of the points Sue Robinson was making in her explanation, where she said the biggest punishment that she can find where a player was accused of something nonviolent sexual was 3 games. So I think you do 3 games times 4 cases that they presented to Sue Robinson. You know, for those who don't know, they didn't present all 24 plaintiffs. They presented 4 that had particularly compelling evidence. The evidence was compelling enough for Sue Robinson to say, yeah, I think Deshaun did all these things. So I think you do, if the highest punishment they've given of a quote nonviolent sexual nature is 3 games, you do 3 games times the four accusers, and that's 12. And then I think the $8 to $10 million makes a lot of sense because Deshaun just got paid $10 million to do nothing for a year because he requested a trade. So I think plus the way the Browns and Deshaun have structured this contract, I think is a complete middle finger to the accusers, to the league, to everybody. So that's why I feel those are appropriate.
Well, I would love to see it be 11 now because I want to see him play.
I do too.
Houston. You know, for the longest time, Sean, I thought when he came back, he'd be cheered. Now I think he'd be booed like crazy. What
yeah.
do you think?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think, yes. I think whatever support Deshaun had left in this city has dwindled to almost nothing. So the game's in December. I mean, I don't think I'm going out on a limb here by saying by December, we're going to kind of know the direction the season is going for the Texans. They're not going to, in all likelihood, not going to be a very good football team this year. Even though I like a lot of the young guys that they have on the team. So it'll be interesting to see if Deshaun does play in that game, what the combination of what I'm guessing is a season that's a losing season at that point. But with Deshaun coming back, like, is that a full stadium? John, they haven't had a full stadium in 2 years, like anything close to it. So that'll be interesting to me, just the placement on the calendar, December of what at that point, 11 or 12 games into the season, there's a good chance the Texans are, 3-8, something like that.
Think of the money that people that have tickets can get from scalpers for Browns fans that would want to see his first game back.
Yeah.
If indeed it were 11 and watch him play, I think it would be asking too much to expect him to step off a suspension back into the lineup and play the way he did for the Texans in 2020. Seems like it's going to take him a couple of games whenever he comes back to get knock off the cobwebs. But one of the things I do like about Texans training camp is most of the talk while we're there and is about the team. And unlike last year, where every day is about Watson, and we're able to focus on players more and coaches like Pep Hamilton more than we have been since 2019.
Absolutely. And John, we're going to talk about those in just a second here on the Utopia Football Podcast. I do want to talk about training camp and get into some of those names, those exact names you just mentioned. Last thing on Deshaun before we move along. What do you think the other owners, the non-Haslam owners, think of this whole thing? Roger Goodell, maybe this should have been a reason why, among many reasons why, an appeal was a virtual lock and all this. Goodell works for the owners. I have to imagine every other owner in the league is livid with the Haslams right now over the
Absolutely.
Contract, right? Over the contract, the resetting of the drastic resetting of the quarterback market, the precedent of a fully guaranteed contract, and who they've given it to. Somebody who is, run afoul of the player conduct policy. And do you think that there was probably behind the scenes a lot of the owners in Roger Goodell's ear saying, you better appeal this thing, man. This 6 games is ridiculous. John, do you think there were owners that were
confidants?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course. He has confidants like Robert Kraft.
Yep.
Robert Kraft could have been suspended and that kind of died on the vine. Jerry Jones, even though Jerry, when he was mad about Zeke Elliott, didn't think Rodgers should be involved in any of that. And I'll tell you what, you think the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Chargers and the Cardinals are not living at what the Browns did? And so I'm sure they've all told him. If they did a thumbs up and a thumbs down like the old Colosseum in Rome, everybody would be a thumbs down on anything involving the Haslams and the Browns, because they threw that whole salary situation out of whack with so many talented young quarterbacks coming up needing new deals.
Yep.